Kenneth Lanier is running for Pender County Board of Education, District 2. He's currently the board's chairperson. And Mr. Lanier, what sets you apart from the other folks that are trying to win a seat on the Pender County School Board?
I have experience. I have leadership skills. I have the knowledge to push us on in Pender County, especially in times like these where we're so inundated by the hurricane. I have knowledge. I have lots of specialties that I know about and how to steer the board, and I have a great relation with my board.
How about the coming out of this Hurricane Florence? Did the schools in Pender County take much of a beating? What's their condition?
Yes, we did. We have 18 schools in our system. Currently, as of today, we have two schools open, our Early College, which is located in Burgall, and we just opened a brand new school, Penderly Replacement School, we opened today. The rest of them all received damage, water damage, and we have four schools that have more problems than the others. That's South Top, so Rocky Point Elementary, Cape Fear Middle, and Cape Fear Elementary schools.
And is it the state that's that assists with the cost of those repairs, or is that a county function, or does FEMA get involved?
Well, all three, actually. Local is building, so our county commissioners who stepped up to the plate and has already given us $4 million. And we're looking at probably a price tag. We don't know, because this is an ongoing process where we're talking about water and fixing back the schools. We have to make sure they're safe, and it could be a $10 million. We don't know the extent of it yet. I mean, we have the assessors in there at the moment. Department of Public Instruction sent orders down that, you know, your schools have to pass a test to make sure that they're safe for staff and students to enter. And that's done through an industrial hygienist. And they just finished their preliminaries, and we're working on the bids to getting all these numbers together. But we have nowhere near the money that we need to complete these projects.
How do you feel Pender County schools are currently secured against threats from people that seek to do young people or teachers harm?
We've actually done a really good job. And we are working, we coordinate with the Sheriff's Department, EMS, and all those different entities together, and have drawn up plans of how to react and how to what happens if we'd happen to act an active shooter, which is so prevalent in our society today. And we're trying to be on the cutting edge of that as best we can. And we've had a lot of cooperation between those agencies. And we've actually had training here recently, right before the hurricanes. We were working on some strategic plans for that. So I feel like we're in a pretty good place with it, actually.
Do you hear from parents who might be proponents of actually arming teachers ever?
I have not personally heard from a lot of parents about that. Now, there's been conversations about that. But as from parents, you know, I haven't heard a lot about that from them particularly. We've had conversations within the system and teachers and county commissioners. Sometimes we just talk about, you know, what's right and what's wrong and how would we approach that.
Moving forward, what do you see in the coming couple of years as the top priorities that the school board should be focused on?
Our top priorities is funding, growth, and teacher shortage. Because in the future, we know, teacher shortage-wise, we know that there's about 40% of the enrollments in our educational college across the state's down. So we know that in the future years, that they're in HB 13, which is lowering class size, which is a good thing, but that also you have to have more teachers to reduce class size. We know that in the near future that we're going to start to run into a teacher shortage and competition between counties when we open up those new classrooms, smaller classrooms, we got to have more teachers, plus the enrollment's down. There was a statistic from East Carolina University for high school and middle school. There were 7 math teachers that graduated, period. So it's going to be tough trying to find those replacements. And, you know, baby boomers are retiring left and right. Those teaching professionals have retired. So it's opening up those slots and filling them with highly qualified teachers is going to be a problem.
And how hard is it to retain those teachers?
Sometimes it's hard. They come in, you know, at the pay scale when they enter into the system, about $35,000. That's hard for a teacher to sustain a lifestyle. So, you know, supplements, which we'll have a 7% supplement. We compete with New Hanover County, Brunswick County, Onslow County, which have higher supplements, and those monies pull teachers from us. So we're always battling that, because Pender County, when it comes to the industrial side of it, we don't have those industries to help back us with the tax dollars and ad valorem taxes it takes for our local county commissioners to fund us.
So you don't have a gentleman's agreement with neighboring counties? You know, don't steal our teachers and we won't touch yours?
So. No. Never heard of that. I think it's open game when it comes to that, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have a lot to offer. We care about our teachers. We're adamant about public education. We want you to be a part of us. We want feedback as best we can. And we try to reflect that in our system.
Mm-hmm. We just went through the Senate confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh for the U.S. Supreme Court. And so a lot of folks have been talking about sexual assault education. And I'm wondering, is that something that is already taught in middle school or high school? Or is that something that you think might need to be addressed for the boys and girls that are entering their teenage years?
Well, some of that may be broached upon, but I don't think there's any deep subject matter to that. And anything that enters to our society that needs to be at age appropriate and be taught, I think we need to introduce that, you know, from opioids to, you know, sexual assaults, if that needs to be taught. And, you know, and we have to have parent buy-in for that also. You know, you just want to teach everything without that consent, because you want, some may resist it and others may not. But I think, you know, if it's what we can work through and make it happen and make our society better, I think it's a good thing.
How does the district work to help those schools that have received lower performance grades?
Lower performance grades. Well, we work. Well, you actually you have to put more into those schools, more administrators, more people that come in and, you know, one on one to make sure why is it that way and what we can do to adjust it. And I don't know what particular performance you're talking about. I don't know if you're talking about the ABCs,
yeah,
grades and stuff like that. Well, some of those are indicators. It doesn't show the true growth of a school, some of the way the formulas are extrapolated at the state level. We would like to see the growth component a larger, that actually shows how a child grows through that year. But we're working on that, you know, with our state legislators. And a lot of times those grades will reflect the socioeconomic status of a school and how that school body is actually made up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we put extra effort into that. We make sure we're focusing on it. And we actually have a lot of good people working in that direction. We're not perfect, but we're headed in the right direction, I think.
If you need to put more resources into a particular school, is the funding there for that, or do you need to sort of rob Peter to pay Paul? How does that
work? Well, there is some special funding, but there's always never enough funding. And usually in a school system, especially ours, you know, we run a very tight system. We're very efficient. The taxpayer's dollar, you get a good bang for your buck. And if that money's tight, you know, sometimes you may have to take a little bit from this, but you can't move it so much, because by law we are required to have all these processes in place. So we do the best job that we possibly can with the funding, but we do need more funding from the state and federal levels to make it work right. I mean, we've had promises in the past and they've worked with us, but I mean, just like the IDEA, which is your programs with your exceptional children and so forth, at the federal level, it was supposed to be 40% funded originally, and they've only funded 14% of it. So We have to make up the difference, or we can't expand our programs. So we need that funding.
I know one of your priorities is dealing with the rapid growth, and I'm just what areas of the county are experiencing that rapid growth that you've been?
The fastest growing area of our county is on the east, but in reality, it's most all of it coming east and headed to the west. Because, you know, it's pretty much coming out of New Hanover County, spilling into Pender County, and all that growth is pushing in that western direction. So we're experiencing a lot of growth. If you put New Hanover, Brunswick, and Pender County together as a collective, we are the fastest growing region in the state. So we have lots of obstacles to overcome. We're not a rich county, but we're a growing county. We have lots of people that are trying to get into our school system because they love it. And I don't know the total answer to that, but we do have to, we need other ways to raise money. You have to understand that school systems in the state of North Carolina have no taxing authority because we, and that makes us, we cannot raise any money at all. We receive our funding through federal, state, and local government, and that's it. And fines and forfeitures, which comes through, you know, tickets and so forth that happen in the county. But beyond that, we're pretty much locked. And we need other sources of income because, you know, the burden of local is on the ad valorem taxes, which is your property owners in the county. And until we reach some agreements, and we've tried in the past to think about impact fees and so forth that would help, you know, help with some of the funding of these when a family moves in, but that's been rejected. There's been opposition to it. We've tried several different other avenues, but we've not been able to push forward with that. There's other ways, but there's laws, too, that prevent us from doing that because the local boards of education do not make laws. We can only do policy and procedure and enforce those laws that are already on the books.
So you're relying on the county and the towns and the state and the feds.
That's it. That's how we're funded. All schools in the state of North Carolina that are public, that's how they're funded.
Kenneth Lanier is running for Pender County Board of Education District 2. He is currently the Board of Education's chairperson. Thanks for coming in.
We thank you.